This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I spent a couple of days in Nashville last week. Stories from that trip to come. But while I was in town, I simply had to stop in at the Belcour Theater to see Stephanie Silverman. We first started talking to her in February of 2020 for our series, The United States of Work, the plan being for me to visit in person a couple of months later. The pandemic, of course, had other plans, both for travel and for the Belcourt, which was forced to shut its doors at a time when it wasn't so clear that there would even be a future for movie theaters. Here's Stephanie talking about that in April of 2020.
You know, we're just very cognizant that the ramp up for us is going to be probably more towards the tail end of whatever kind of recovery looks like.
The Belcourt is a nonprofit theater. They show new indie movies, classics as well, in a nearly 100-year-old building. The Belcourt officially reopened in April of 2021 at limited capacity. That was thanks to donations and grants, two PPP loans, and a shuttered venue operator's grant as well. And when I showed up in person last week, after more than 2 years of Zoom calls with Stephanie, the Belcourt had just had its first weekend back at full capacity since before the pandemic.
Hey!
Hello!
How are you?
As I live and breathe. Welcome to the Belcourt, Kai Rizdahl.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
It's great to have you guys here.
Oh, my Lord. Let's go inside.
Come into the air conditioning.
It's just, it's so hot here.
Yeah, welcome to the South.
I can't handle it. This is the place.
This is it. This is us.
This is the place.
We got there a little bit after lunchtime as they were setting up for the first screening of the day.
So this is one of our two halls.
Yeah.
We call it the 1966 because it was built onto the building.
Oh.
In 1966.
Good sized. How many people?
So this seats 255. Okay. And the cool thing about this room is we can show digital films in here, like every other theater in America. But this is also the room where we can show 35 millimeter. So we love that.
I will say the darkness and the coolness makes me just want to sit down and see a movie.
Can you imagine with a little popcorn?
Right?
And if you're here, you can also have a solid beer.
Yeah. That would put me to sleep. Although I will say I'm not wild about the idea of Marcel the Shell with shoes on. It does nothing for me.
Have you even seen the trailer?
I saw the trailer the other day.
It's kind of magical.
All right. Okay.
Well, it's okay if you don't come. But what we were happy to see is a whole lot of Nashvillians came. So we had a really, really
good
opening weekend.
Good. All right. So that's the 1966 hall.
In the other hall, Willy Wonka was on the playbill. The 1970s one, not the weird Johnny Depp one. Anyway, then we headed upstairs.
Oh, do you want to see the booth, though?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay, then you have to come back this way.
Just like for the...
We'll look at the good booth. I mean, they're both good booths, but this one has both the digital and the 35 in it. Come on in.
Oh, yeah.
So here it is.
Look at how big they are, those reels of film.
Yes. That's an exceptionally large reel.
Kirk
could tell us. So Kirk is our director of projection and facilities.
Hi, Kirk.
This is Kai Rizdahl, Marketplace
nice
team.
How are you?
Good to meet you. Good.
But here are reels for films that are coming up this weekend. So we're showing Malcolm X as part of an American epic series.
One. Yep. All of those reels is one movie?
Yeah.
About 20 minutes each, somewhere around there. So they have to be swapped back and forth between the projectors, you know, every 15 or 20 minutes. So
that seems not very efficient, but maybe that's just me.
Well, they created all these ways to do it when film really was it. These platter systems and these huge things.
Yeah.
But now you're playing archival prints most of the time. So we don't cut these guys. We treat them like a museum would treat the work on their walls.
So you have a staff member up here whose job it is to switch between projector A and projector B at the right synchronized moment. And
exactly. Yep. They watch for a little dot in the top right corner. Okay, and then when they see it, they switch it over. And the audience never notices.
And
I
it's
was just gonna say,
art.
Thanks, Kirk.
Right, thank you.
And you know what's funny? We totally just like intruded on his little private space. He's up here with his machines and his films, and he's good to go. And then we were like,
hey, man,
how are you?
That's right? Projectionist style. There was like an eighth grade career fair here in Nashville, and we'd go. And, of course, most kids would come up and say, how do I become a movie star?
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, you'd get a kid just kind of rolling by, and Kirk would go, that kid's projectionist material.
Oh, that's great. So let's see. A couple of things that I wanted to touch base with. Number one, crowds are good, right?
Yeah. We just had a great weekend. It looked like a normal Belcourt weekend.
Is that all Marcel?
It's mostly Marcel. Then we have this really great series right now going on called Queer Classics. We try and work in the repertory space, finding maybe the voices and the artists who have gotten less play than the old white guys.
Yeah. So, oh, look, you know, totally fair.
Yeah.
People, staff.
Yeah.
So it's gonna, they're going to start rolling in. I saw that on the front it said you guys open at 2, so we're early, but they're going to roll in here.
Yep.
Are you staffed up? Do you need people?
We need maybe a couple more people, but we're pretty good right now. The big thing we've had to do is really significantly raise our hourly rates.
Like how significantly?
Overall, since we've reopened, $4 an hour. That's a lot.
The increase?
Yeah.
On what kind of base?
So we started at 10, and now we're at 14 an hour starting. So we're not even to 15, which is our at least where we'd like to get, but we're getting there faster than we thought, which is a thing that I think the pandemic is forcing everyone to do, which is an upside.
So let me ask the follow-on question, which is inflation and the cost of goods sold for you and all of that. I mean, I don't imagine Malcolm X's prints cost more, but all the wine and all the beer and all the popcorn.
All this stuff costs more. The Malcolm X piece that costs more is shipping,
right?
It's just plain old delivery.
Sure.
Because those movies are heavy. I mean, they've always been expensive, but we really have seen an increase.
Yeah.
There's been a funny sort of shortage nationally of popcorn buckets, for instance. We're on a listserv of other art houses, and people are like, where's everybody getting their buckets?
Oh,
we're out here. So
where are you getting your buckets?
We're okay right now. We use these lovely compostable bags.
Oh, there you go.
But we did run out of them earlier, and we had to go back to buckets. So it's its own jigsaw puzzle. The movies are a jigsaw puzzle. The concessions work is its own jigsaw puzzle. That's been the coming out of pandemic work, mostly problem solving around things we used to think we knew how to do.
Setting aside for a second the variance and the idea that we're done with the pandemic, but the pandemic's not done with us. Do you think business-wise you're on the far side of the pandemic?
I think we're getting there. I think for us, the feeling that people are really understanding how much audiences love seeing movies in theaters is for real. And it's not just in our space, in the independent space, but certainly in the commercial space too. Like with the out-of-the-gate success of Spider-Man and Top Gun and Thor, those people aren't waiting. They don't want to wait. They want to see them in a theater. We're seeing that here too. Interestingly for us, the pipeline's been funky, right? Like, the place we are is the place where the Netflix streaming deals have happened the most. But we've been surviving on repertory, really, until about this weekend with Marcel, which is theaters only, and people are coming. So those are accessible to anybody at all times.
Do you worry about the rise of streaming and released direct-to-streaming features after the pandemic?
I worried about it more than I worry about it now. Yeah. I think we're going to see a correction. For two reasons. One, I think studios are understanding that the long tail for their movie happens when it starts an exhibition, when we do marketing and audience development for it, and then it finally lands streaming, and then, but it needs the word of mouth energy that only exhibition spaces can give it. The other thing is that the creative community doesn't love it either.
Right.
If everything's sort of the same, right? You can release anything anywhere, nothing is special. Nothing has delineation. So I think the other thing is that artists care about exhibition. They care about movies. They care that we care enough to sit in there with a many years old movie like Willy Wonka and tune it and make sure that theater sounds great and looks great so that you have the very best experience watching it.
It is so good to be here and see you.
It's so great to have you guys here after all this time.
It's so fun. Now I have a place to think about when we talk.
That's right. Exactly. And, you know, next time you come to Nashville,
we'll see a movie.
Come see a movie.